Happy Christmas from Radio Arian. Have a pro-white Christmas and a diversity-free new year. And remember, a kebab is not just for Christmas.
TWO Radio.
You're listening to Radio Arian at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to Truth All Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 7th of December, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we're broadcasting live at RadioArian.com because we have the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Back Door, and the Freemasonic Victors of World War II, Mr. Dennis Wise himself tonight with us. Dennis, how you doing?
Hey. I'm all right, yeah. Hey, what's this about BBC being on your back?
Oh, yeah. Well, they did an exposure of us this week. Yeah, and you know, you wouldn't believe it, would you? But they completely misquoted us, as if the BBC would do anything
never
like
happens.
That. Never happens, does it? But, yeah, you know, they accused us of talking about one thing. Well, they accused Alex of saying one thing. They accused him of glorifying vandalism of public property. And in actual fact, all he was saying was that an organization's memes were pretty funny and people should go along there to have a look for themselves because they find it entertaining. And that was all he said. But according to the BBC, that was apparently encouraging people.
Revolution to, in the air.
and vandalism. But, as soon as we actually played back the conversation, it was quite apparent that it was talking about something completely different. And the other thing they wanted to push this idea that because we advise people, or well, we encourage people to, in the first case, to send Christmas cards, but secondly, we thought we'd keep it going the whole year round. We encourage members of the nationalist community to write to other nationalists that are in prison, which is, you know, it's our Christian duty to do that more than anything else. And they were trying to push this idea that that was support for terrorism, which is very insulting. Oh, and the third thing, that this organization that they were trying to link us with, they vandalized the church. And we're a pro-Christian organization. I mean, this is just three things that I could pick out, but the whole program was... Yeah, very, very badly researched. It looked like all they had done was just gone to that organization hoping for hate and read some of their more outlandish stories that they've got on there and then just put them out on the BBC and didn't bother to actually check for themselves. They sent an email to me and asked me some questions about these things, and the answers to those questions were actually in the podcasts. And they quite clearly didn't actually listen to the podcast. They just...
Problem is, though, well, since you're a tourist now.
Well, we've got... They seem to have encouraged, you know, got us more listeners. And they were saying that we were recruiting for this organisation. So I don't know what BBC were doing a half-hour programme about us. I mean, surely that's doing the same, isn't it? If just the mention of something is recruiting for them, then they're recruiting for us. Anyway.
It's true, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they are what they are. You know, I mean, we all know what they are. So anyway, no, I just thought I'd mention it.
Well, yeah, it was a surprise, really, because, most organisations, I mean, we have featured in the mainstream media before, but they just put a neo-Nazi radio station because they don't want to encourage people to come to our station.
Because I'm on it.
Yeah. But the other thing is, I mean, anybody that does come along to check us out, they're going to find out that, you know, they've been told a very different story in the mainstream media from what we are actually like.
Exactly.
We're motivated. We have good motivations and we're honorable people and we're not terrorists and we're not out there to cause harm. We love our race and we want to serve our race and we want to protect our race. And what's wrong with that?
And inform our race.
Yeah, and reform our race, definitely, and do away with the degeneracy. But yeah, it was a surprise, and you know, it was a concern. And I did have to put up, you know, I mean, everybody that listens to us knows where we stand on these issues, that we are trying to encourage a revolution of mindset. We want our people to stop being degenerate. We want our people to reject usury, reject pornography, reject all the demoralizing things that have been done to us, usually through the Jews, but also through our own people. We want our people to stop miscegenating. And, you know, we understand that the people behind that is really ourselves, because we're the ones that have the power. We let the Jews in. We let the women have their feminism. We let the immigrants come in. And it's the traitors at the top that are the ones that need to be removed. That has to be done lawfully. People that listen to us know all these things, but I had to sort of condense all that down and put it into a, you know, a little sidebar thing. I had to idiot-proof the site, basically.
Well, the thing is that all this immigration and a number of other things that have all been thrown on us, it was never voted for. So they've avoided this democratic system just by pouring everybody in from all over the planet. We come to this point, but it's, you know, we weren't asked.
Well, I see a lot of it, Dennis. I see a lot of it as in because we ignored our traditions. And you can go right back to when we allowed Cromwell to kill the king.
Totally.
You know, the king might have been, we might have got the odd tyrant, but the king obeyed the Christian laws, and we didn't have any Jews in the country then, because the king before then had removed them. And what happened was we rose up and we allowed Cromwell to kill our king, and we got our just punishment. We ended up with the Jews running the Bank of England, and you can see everything that's gone on from then, really. And it all comes from turning our back on our traditions and ignoring our old laws.
Yeah, and really,
you know, there's another thing I think about as well. There's a bit in the New Testament, I think, where the Jews are accused of killing the prophets, and they're like, well, we wouldn't have done that. And it's like, but it was your fathers that did that. And they're like, oh, yes, but it wasn't us. But it's the same thing. If you're going to claim the glory of what your ancestors have done in the past, then you also have to accept the failures of your ancestors in the past and accept that they were the same as you. And you can't look at yourself as being any better than them. You know, we can't look at ourselves as being any better than the people of the past. All we can do is strive to be the best that we can now. So a lot of these things are sort of came to a head this week, thinking about all of this and thinking about our stand as well at Radio Aryan and what we're trying to achieve. And we're really just trying to improve people's character, because that is at the root issue of all nationalism's problems is character deficits in the leaders.
And well, interestingly enough, this week, the BBC have been advertising for jobs to coloured people only. Can you believe?
Well, that's quite regular they do that. No whites allowed. And you just think, well, you know, how can they get away with that in law? You know, how would people respond if we were to offer a job and just say only whites? No black or minority ethnic candidates can apply. You know, we'd be whisked off the prison straight away. Yet the BBC can do it.
It's just been the wrong colour. I mean, Tyson Fury got robbed of his world title because we were white. Simple as that. This week. Well, who cares?
It was good to see him back. It was good to see him back, I think, and making a comeback. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about him before, haven't we? And his conservative values. It's rare that you get a sportsman with conservative values like that. But what else have you been doing this week, Dennis? I hear you've been fraternizing with the enemy, I hear.
Fraternizing with the enemy. I can't believe they even waste the time in the bloody club. Yeah, what it is, I was there's a stream of comments on a particular video about Freemasonry, and even that video is a joke. And as I was passing my comments, the other commenters was a 32nd degree Freemason who said, you know, why don't you stop spreading rumours, etc., and ask me some questions? And I thought, well, this is a good idea. So we got into a conversation, and I thought we'd mention it today because obviously there's some things in it which need to be brought to light, I suppose.
Well, what was the conversation like then? Was he sort of criticising your work, or were you asking him, you know, forthright questions? Was he answering them honestly, do you think? Was he just trying to spread confusion about Freemasonry? What was his role? What was he trying to do by it? What was his aim?
Well, what he was saying to me was that, you know, look, you're out of line on a few things and you're spreading malicious lies and rumours, so if you want to know the facts, come to me. But the problem is that he's taken off, so he can only go so far anyway. But I thought, well, let's take a look, see what he says. And what he actually said, he tripped up a number of times, especially about one point. I mentioned that Freemasonry in World War II was led by, the Allied armies was led by Freemasonry in World War II, and he denied it. So then when I threw back Churchill, Roosevelt, Stalin, Truman, and even Attlee at one point, they were all Freemasons. So then he conceded, oh, well, now I know you're being serious about the conversation. So that were a bit of a, he backed off a bit there.
So he was really, he was trying to, he would have deceived you if he could have got away with it then. That's what he was saying.
If I hadn't been who I was, yes.
So he was trying to say that they weren't led by Freemasons, and then when you pointed out that all these people were, I mean, this is the same excuse that the Jews use, isn't it? They say, oh, well, the Jews weren't behind that. And you say, well,
it's all deceit.
They were all individual Jews involved in it, though. It may not have been an organized Jewish organization with its name, but all the individuals involved happen to be Jewish. Is that just a coincidence? Is it just a coincidence that all those leaders were Freemasons? That's the question.
Well, I don't think it is, but he seems to think that I was barking up the wrong tree. But he also said, right, there was no evidence that Eisenhower was a Freemason, because he actually led them on the battleground, and not just in an office. But I'm convinced he's a member of some secret society, because, even though he might not be under the Freemasonry, Skull and Bones is another one. There's a few of these secret societies we've never heard of. And if you're going to be president of the United States, and I think he skipped over about 10 generals to get his position. He was well favoured. I mean, and he was Jewish, granted, we know that. The odds are him not being a Freemason or a member of another secret society is astronomical.
I mean, that's a suspicion you have a lot of the time, isn't it? Is how do they get to where they are? They must be picked, they're groomed. It's like David Cameron, and he always knew that he was going to be prime minister. This is why it was such a surprise for Donald Trump to get to where he did get to as president, because he hadn't actually been groomed for it. And you do think, well, how do they do that? How do they skip over all these people? And it's because there's a lot going on in these secret societies that we don't know about, where they help out the brothers. As it were. And what did he... Go on, sorry.
Well, no, I'm just going to say the very basis of Freemason I've never liked, because on the simple basis that if you're not in the club, you're nowhere. So that means an awful lot of people live their lives with having doors shut in the face without even knowing it. And that's the problem. Because if you're in there, doors open.
And also the conversations that go on in there which aren't a matter of public record. And they'll all decide on something, and then something will happen in public, and you won't get to hear the reasons why, because they've got other reasons why. And they'll come out with some fake reason why for the public. But the question I was going to ask you, I mean, he was, because you've shown me some of this conversation, and there was a bit where he was saying that the only reason why Adolf Hitler was against the Freemasons is because he was refused initiation. So what was that bit? What was that about?
Well, I've heard this argument before. For many years, I was on YouTube and people refused to admit that he wasn't a Freemason. And it was only when I found the evidence of the Channel Islands and one or two other things and closing down lodges, eventually that myth is more or less gone now. But the reason why it has not changed, because what they're saying, or what they used to say to me was, he wanted all Freemasonry and the knowledge for himself. Nothing to do with him being, a Catholic and closing down the monastery, because the Catholic Church has always looked on Freemasonry as, something not to get involved with. Like I said to him, well, your reason and my reason, two different things. But as we went along, you could plainly see that communism is in there, and he refuses to admit communism has anything to do with Freemasonry, when that particular line got me in this actual series, because I heard somebody talking about it, and he said that communism and left wing has always been the basis of Freemasonry.
Did he try to deny that then? did he try to deny that then?
Yes.
Amazing. And what about the French motto, liberty, fraternity, equality.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing was, because I said to him, all right, forget your inner circle, you know, visions of Freemasonry. Let's just look at plain facts. At the end of World War II, you know, Freemasonry won. They defeated Hitler, who closed them all. They opened them all up again. And if you're going to talk about communism, you know, we then stabbed, we, you know, the Allies, stabbed Chiang Kai-shek in the back in China and gave Mao Zedong the leadership of China. And he went on to murder 40, 50 million Chinese. So why is this Freemason leadership of the Allies, you know, stabbing people in the back, nationalists, and giving the communists the job of running China? Which never answered properly.
Well, why did they align with Stalin in the first place? I mean, there's always been this support for communism, hasn't there?
Yeah, support for communism. And then, of course, the UN, I mentioned that. That is built on, because I learned all this in Communism by the Back Door, it's built on the Communist Manifesto. It's built on ground given by David Rockefeller, you know, in New York. So private land, and they built this UN. It's got a prayer room, Lucifer room, you know, Lucy's Trust across from the main office. It's just an esoteric kind of leadership that we're not yet feeling the full force of. But we are feeling the force because all the education and things like that is running through that. And they decide, you know, who teaches our kids at 10 to know about anal sex.
Well, you've also got Duralina. You know, I forget if he's a Russian author, and he did that film In the Shadow of Hermes, which was based on the book. And that showed without a shadow of a doubt the Freemasonic involvement in communism and in the Bolshevik Revolution and how it all tied in with the lodges. Definitely. I mean, it's a really good film. I do recommend listeners to watch it if they haven't already seen it. Duralina's film, In the Shadow of Hermes. So how did he say that it wasn't involved in it? What reasons could he give to show that communism wasn't involved with Freemasonry?
Well, he was saying that Freemasonry was like a patriotism. You know, I suppose he was, in a way, he's talking nationalistic, but it's nothing of the sort. I mean, it's a fifth column for the Jews, and always has been. You know, it's an easy way to infiltrate a country, to set up a room, for instance, right, and say, you can't come in because this is all secret. You don't get any more blatant.
Well, this idea of all the races being equal and this brotherhood of man, that all goes back to Freemasonry. Say the French motto that they had in the French Revolution, that goes back to Freemasonry. It was begun in England after Francis Bacon and John Dee and the magic that he had. The Royal Society was the exoteric side of it. Freemasonry was the esoteric side of it. And and after the Glorious Revolution, they exported it to France. And all of this comes about just after Cromwell and the Jews came back into England as well. And this revolution was exported to France, where they killed the king, just like they'd killed the king over here in Britain, and then put in place this new government system, this new democracy system that sort of deified man instead of God, and said, well, man can make his own rules and we'll decide it through having votes. And that's what the Talmud is. The Talmud is all rabbis getting together and deciding what the laws should be by having votes. And they say in the Talmud that God has to obey these rabbis. The rabbis had a vote on it. And they outvoted God, basically. And that system has been put in place as our democracy, where people just place these votes and they can change the laws. Whereas before we had a divine law. So the Freemason idea is that through their perfection of man, they don't need God. They can become their own God. It's a Jewish
Stalin idea. Came out with a line once, which I thought was quite amusing. He said, it's not people who vote that count, it's the people that count the votes.
Well, definitely. And that's a similar line to Rothschild's one about the money. I don't care who's in government as long as I'm printing the money, or words to that effect. I don't care who makes the laws.
Means,
That's what he said.
What that actually means to people who may not be familiar with all that is that if you control a nation's finances, which the City of London does, not London itself, but the City of London, where all the bankers are, etc., they control the finances. So if we want to go to war tomorrow against, say, New Zealand, we'd have to go to them for the finances to go to war. And if they didn't agree with it, we ain't going to war. So it's like a behind-the-curtain dictatorship, which no one is aware of, but that is this democracy that they've tried to instill in the Middle East and everywhere else.
Well, what about the New World Order then? The whole idea of the New World Order goes back to Freemasonry, and the New World Order is communist with equality and races the same, genders the same, trying to do away with all the differences. So what does he say about that, about the New World Order? Did you ask him about that?
Well, he says, when I questioned him on this communist reaction of the Allies, he said, well, you're not really talking communism, you're talking New World Order conspiracy. But I saw a bit of the funeral of Bush this week, and there's one or two videos up on YouTube which goes back to his speeches, and even in his election campaign, he was speaking of this New World Order, which is not a conspiracy. He talks about the 1,000 points of light and, the one rule, and he puts it in a way that everything's going to be, utopia and peaceful and happy. Whereas to get there, they've got to kill half the planet anyway. So it's not a conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy. But they're all just working together.
No, it's a fact, I think.
Well, they are all working together behind closed doors. I mean, I've got some of his statements here. He says, Eisenhower was not a Freemason, so your speculation regarding him is faulty. Manly P. Hall was using subjective allegory on how money, fame, and glory tends to corrupt people, which was a symbolic gesture of his to speculate that money, fame, and glory equals power is a demonizing iteration and not technically a religious claim, a simple metaphor, if you will. Read between the lines and try not to take things so literally. I mean, he's sort of being quite confusing with his writing it. And then he says black magic. And then he says there is no black nor white magic.
All
magic is used with intent, with purpose. But that's, that's what we say anyway, isn't it? That magic is magic. There is no black magic or white magic. It's all wrong.
I was pointing out that in that book, The Secret Mysteries of All Ages, Secret Teachings of All Ages, is when Manly Hall actually shows you the actual ritual of raising demons, and Lucifer in particular. And that was his answer. Don't you know, read between the lines. I mean, we're raising demons here.
So he's trying to say that it's just a subjective allegory.
Yeah.
And he's talking about demon raising. But then you've got John Dee, where all of this came from, that did raise demons and did get a whole language from demons. He called them angels, but he got an entire language from them and started up that occult revival. And then later on, you've got Crowley and him raising demons and being given information from them. So how does he explain that? Is that all allegory?
Well, in Crowley's instance, he says Crowley wasn't actually a Freemason. He was a member of the OTO, which was a clandestine one. And he says that, that he was never associated with Freemasonry. Now, I heard both stories. I heard that he was, and I also heard that he wasn't. But that's not unusual with Freemasonry anyway. So even taking into account that he wasn't, his influential his work in Hollywood especially, and the music industry, is so influential, and even the British Olympic Games, where they threw up symbology all over the place of the OTO. I mean, they had an altar. They had this person coming down from the skies. They had a burning phoenix rising from the ashes. Everything was connected to the OTO. So you know, to say he's not a Freemason, it's a bit like saying George Bush isn't one. All right, you know, it belongs to Skull and Bones, but he's still a member of a secret society, and they all have the same agenda.
I thought Aleister Crowley had got right to the top very quickly of these rites in Freemasonry, and then maybe he did get kicked out, and then he started his own organization, which had the same rites in it, and went took it further.
Oh, he did take it further. I mean, the Golden Dawn, he left that because, and that's Rothschild's coven. He left that one because he didn't think it went far enough. Can you believe?
And there was a crossover because there were members of Freemasonry that were also members of Crowley's cult and other ones as well. All these secret societies, they all interconnect one with another. This is the thing. And they were all pushing towards revolution. The protocols of the learned elders of
exactly Zion,
when they say that, well, that's a fake, that's false or whatever, but the information in that can be found in the conspiracy books before that time that are talking about these other secret societies. Nestor Webster wrote a lot of stuff about what the secret societies were doing, and they were all pushing for revolution, for the communist revolution. And when they say that bits of the protocols were taken from, I think it's Machiavelli, The Prince. I mean, again, what's in that book, The Prince? It's taking stuff from the secret societies. And even though they might have had different names, they were all pushing for the same thing. They were all pushing for revolution, get rid of the church, get rid of the king, and put this new elite in charge of everybody else. And then you've got the Jews that are helping to encourage that. And the Freemasons themselves were, according to Bishop Williamson, they were like the representatives of the Jews. Because the Jews couldn't take part in civil society, they used the Freemasons to agitate for things that the Jews wanted, which is why ended up with the French Revolution, they emancipated the Jews and gave them the same civil rights as everybody else. And then they pushed that through everywhere that they went, everywhere that there was a revolution. The emancipation of the Jew quickly followed because these people were proxies for them.
Yeah.
Well, what did he say about, because he denied that the Jews were anything to do with Freemasonry, didn't he?
He denied practically everything I threw at him, to be honest, what he's going to do. But I mean, yeah, he said that Israel and the Jews have nothing to do with Freemasonry. But I mean, that's ridiculous because, and he said Rothschild is the same. Got nothing to do with Freemasonry. Well, that's ridiculous as well. I mean, he says, because I said to him, in the origins of Freemasonry, it is suggested that Freemasonry started in the days of Herod, the first lodge being Herod's temple. He come back and said, well, it wasn't Herod's temple, it was Solomon's temple. So we are going back to that stretch. But, you know, I heard it with Herod.
Well, you had Solomon's temple, which was destroyed, and then you had Zerubbabel's temple, and then Herod comes along, and it tells you in Josephus that he practically demolished Zerubbabel's temple and it right down to the foundations and then built a new one. So that third temple, because it was the third temple that was actually built there, they refer to it as the second, but it was actually the third temple, and it was built by Herod the baby killer, who the Jews call Herod the Great, and he wasn't part of Judah. He was descended from the Edomites, from Esau, with his Canaanite wives. So that third temple that was destroyed by Titus and Vespasian, that was a pagan temple. That was a Canaanite temple built by Herod. That's so probably where it goes back to.
Today.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that is just because, you know, they want people to think that they are the Jews of the Old Testament. Yeah. That's why they're doing that. Yeah. But it will just be another pagan temple. It will be the same as that Herod built. And also because it was destroyed and Christ foretold that it would be destroyed. And ever since then, there's been this push to try and rebuild it because that would disprove Christianity. And Julian the Apostate, he tried to do that. And he got in there with the Jews. He gave them lots of money and said, go on then, rebuild it. This will really stick it to the Christians. And they weren't able to. Fireballs appeared and Jews disappeared in a puff of smoke, and there was volcanic eruptions and all sorts. And it's all written down by the pagan historians of the time, and it was impossible to rebuild that temple. It was completely destroyed.
Well, that's good to know.
As fulfillment of prophecy. So ever since then, they've wanted to push this idea that they were going to rebuild it, and also to push the idea that they're the inheritors of the Old Testament, that they're the people of the Old Testament, when they're not. And, you know, you're saying that he was saying then they are nothing, the Freemasons are nothing to do with the state of Israel. Well, what about that courthouse that they've got there that's supposed to be the court of the world court, and it's full of Freemasonic imagery. It's got the two pillars on the outside, it's got the pyramid, it's got the all-seeing eye, and it's built by Rothschild. So how does he explain that?
The Rothschilds, he admitted that the Rothschilds funded the Illuminati, because in 1776, that's when they merged with Freemasonry, well, European Freemasonry. And even Washington in America was wary of him, because he's got a couple of letters, you know, showing his anxiety about this Illuminati. So he says the Rothschilds disbanded it in the 18th century. It doesn't exist anymore, but in place is a Zionist occupational government, which is run by the Bilderberger Group. He says the actual Illuminati's ancient mystery schools exist today, but under a completely different name, which he didn't tell me. So, but you're not telling me. I mean, Rothschilds own Israel. They bought Israel. You know what I mean? They do everything in Israel.
Yeah, they were responsible for building that court, and I think they own most of the real estate there. They funded Zionism. And that Balfour Declaration, didn't that have something to do with Rothschild as well?
Yes, that was, and there's a YouTube video about him talking about it. I mean, people were actually denying it to me, and I was sending them to this Rothschild video where he was acclaiming it, saying, you know, what a magnificent achievement for the Jews to get, because I don't really believe that he is a Jew as such. I think, you know, he's got higher aspirations than most Jews. But he was saying that, you know, it's incredible that the Jews finally got their homeland back through this Balfour Agreement. And, you know, there's no denying, but they do try.
Well, there's another thing that can be brought up as well. I mean, if he's saying that the Jews weren't anything to do with the Freemasons, well, what about the interconnection with spying then? Because the Freemasons have always been connected with the intelligence services.
Yes.
And then you've got the Rothschilds and the bankers and their connection with the intelligence services, because they had connections in each one of the banks in the European countries. And it was those connections and the way that messages could be got quickly from one country to another that was able to tell Rothschild about the Battle of Waterloo, where he crashed the banking system in England. So he had, you know, Rothschild had this network of informers where he could find out everything that was going on. And then you had the intelligence service, which is a network of informers all the way across Europe that can tell the government everything that's going on. So you've got that interconnection there between the two of them. And then obviously you've got the masonry with the oaths to keep secret. And you've got masses of the police and the intelligence services we know are in the Masons. You've got a crossover between all three of them, and they're all interconnected with the banks as well. So I don't see how he could think he could get away with saying that the Jews weren't involved with the Freemasons. I mean, what about the rights? What about all the rites and the language that they use? And, you know, it's all basically just the Kabbalah. That's what masonry is.
He's saying read between the lines. That's the easiest get out I've ever seen.
You know, I'm trying to think back here. I mean, Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, he did a series, or he did a program rather, about Hebrew. And when they were translating the Bible into English, and when these Jews were converting and becoming conversos, and that was when they brought the Kabbalah in. And the Kabbalah was given to the Gentiles to help form the magical side of their Freemasonry. That's why it fits in there. It's like, we'll give you our magic, we'll give you our special Hebrew magic if you give us special favors once we've given it to you. And that's what Freemasonry was.
Bears it out. I mean, I asked him, one of the first questions I asked him was that, you know, that saying about Hiram Abiff, and, you know, that I will speak no more till you find my son, and I will inherit the temple. I was asking him for questions in that, and he just come back with just, you know, oh, it's read between the lines, blah, blah, blah. But to me, you know, it's, that was saying, referring to Lucifer as coming back as the Antichrist, but he was refusing to have it.
Well, the hero of Biff doesn't appear in the Old Testament. First time you hear of that is in Freemasonry.
Yeah.
So that's got to be the Jews that came up with that.
Yeah, well, if people read that, a paragraph, really looked at it, then it's certainly got nothing to do with God and Jesus at all.
Well, I don't think any of it has anything to do with God and Jesus. And you don't have to be a Christian to be a Freemason. They allow Muslims in there.
Everybody.
Anybody can go in there. They just have to say that they believe in a God, I think, which means they don't believe in any.
Well, that debunks the fact that, you know, anybody getting to heaven has to go through Christ, because it makes all religions just the same, which brings Christianity down amongst them. So that's, you know, it's another angle that, you know, certainly Christians involved in it shouldn't be.
Well, there can only be one truth. So what they're saying there is, there isn't any truth. If they're saying that there can be other gods and they're just the same, what's that? That's saying there's more than one truth. And if there's more than one truth, it's not the truth, is it?
Well, the thing is, because it's so secret. I mean, he can have a go at me for getting things wrong. But if it were a bloody secret, we'd all know. But that's never going to happen. So we've got to wade our way through this kind of spider's web. And, you know, eventually bits of truth come dropping out. And even, you know, if you can't prove it, you can actually see it in their actions, like the Allies after World War II. How do you give China to Mao Zedong when you just supposedly, according to Churchill, fighting to save Christianity?
Well, there's lots of questions after the war there, isn't there? I mean,
yeah, paedophilia is another one, because that didn't start till about the 1980s. Of any notable significance. And even Francis today will still not, this thing about this bishop who's been caught, he won't give any information on it, but he won't do, because if he's a Freemason, which I believe he is, he breaks his oath. He ain't going to break his oath.
And when you think you've got people that take these blood oaths, I mean, it's going to be a fertile ground for pedophile rings, isn't it?
Without a doubt.
Because they'll find other pedophiles in there, and they'll know that they can rely on the rest of the Freemasons to cover up for them if ever they end up in court or end up getting into trouble. I mean, it's not like we're saying every one of the Freemasons is a bad guy. There are lots of good people that are involved in it. I mean, we pointed out before Henry Ford, he didn't expose Freemasonry. Yep. He was probably a Freemason, but it's used as a cover for all these other things, and it's at the root of the revolutions that have all been to benefit the Jews.
It all links, and of course the Middle East, people have probably never even given that a thought about Iraq and Libya and Syria, all linked to, you know, World War II, back to the French Revolution. It's the same revolution, because they want this one world, and to get this one world, they've got to take in sovereign countries. I don't care what excuses they give about Saddam Hussein or whatever. I mean, that's another typical sacrifice, which we covered with the Armada and the Macrobes, was the highway of death after they were coming out of Kuwait. It just mass slaughter could easily be transferred as a sacrifice. So, you know, but they're so secret that, you know, you've literally got to turn our dead body to get to them.
So what you're saying there is, you know, the big, and we did this in a program, didn't we, where these Macrobes said that they had to be fed with blood. And it was since then that there's been so much bloodshed and so many deaths involved in these wars.
After the wars, yeah.
After the wars. And you think that's, you know, some kind of payment for winning the wars, being allowed to win the wars. But you have to kill lots and lots of people for that.
Well,
so
the red flag was the Armada, because number one, we only learned there was one Armada when there was three. And number two is, when I found out about this, you know, John Dee and all this Macrobes, I then looked for a significant amount of death at that time, because that's the obvious thing to do. And lo and behold, we had 7,000 dead sailors who weren't allowed to come back and land. They died of dysentery and disease in a battle that only 100 British sailors either were injured or lost their life.
And we also got suspicious. Well, we got suspicious coincidences as well, haven't we? We've got bad weather that, you know, destroyed the enemy ships three times in a row.
Three times, yeah.
So you've got suspicious things happening with the weather. And
Germans starving after World War One, almost a million. Bluebird massacres and people, what the Allies, who presumably are against communism, sent them all back to Stalin. Handed half of Europe over to live under communism. So come on, you know, this can't be all coincidence.
And then the only mass death that we are supposed to talk about, that we are supposed to remember, is one that there are huge questions over just what actually happened, and there's no actual evidence for it with the Holocaust.
No, because Doug Christie, in that trial in Canada, that's the first trial of Ernst Sundel, he questioned the top Jews who all came along, they'd all written books, and they'd all stated this about the Holocaust, and they had to admit that they had never found a body, one body, that would have been gassed. And then after that trial, they had to have a retrial, and all these Jews went away and wrote all these books and had to change the books because everybody knew now what they were saying wasn't right, and they were up for libel. Just what big cover-up.
So we got all these massacres that a lot of people don't actually know about, hundreds of millions of people being killed, and then we've got this mystical 6 million that we're supposed to be so concerned about, and it's supposed to be on our minds all the time, every minute of the day. They're building a huge Holocaust memorial outside the Houses of Parliament to remind everyone.
50 million, yeah, 50 million.
And yet we've got millions of our own people that have been massacred that nobody remembers, nobody even knows about. I mean, who knows about that, you know, what happened there with the Armada?
Exactly. I mean, even World War II, I said at one point in the documentary, for all the 60-odd million dead and raped across Europe, you know, the Christians, nobody's connected it to an holy war.
Well, what about Iraq? You mentioned Iraq. How does that fit in with the Freemasons?
Well, again, they want to take down all sovereign countries. You know, they don't want a dictatorship in any country. They want to put the central bank in there and run it financially, as they've done with most of the world already. And so that rather than run it militarily, which has never worked, there's been people tried to conquer the world, but run it financially, which not only works well because you've got the purse strings, but it's secret as well. You know, you don't know what's going on while you're having your breakfast. But they'll be doing whatever they need to do to control the world and control individual countries. And now Iraq's gone. They gave the excuse this, you know, Kuwait invasion, etc. Then Libya went. They'd never done anything against the United States. Then Syria, you know, again, a lot of dead Christians. So it's like the actual Bolsheviks who are running these rebels, are doing these revolutions, and then leading by terror. Because what they do then is they go in there, cut off people's heads, leave them in someone's daughter, cut off the head, leave it in the fridge for the parents to see when they come home. And they'll rule that country then by terror. Nobody will dare say anything.
Well, the first one of those was the French Revolution, wasn't it? That was the reign of terror. Where all these horrific things were carried out. And then it was sort of perfected at the Bolshevik Revolution. And the idea was just to absolutely terrify everyone, and then they would do as they're told.
Yes.
So they're called ISIS today, but it's the same mentality.
Cutting heads off again, yeah.
Yeah, the same things that they're actually doing.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, what other interesting things did he have to say then that you weren't expecting, Dennis? About Freemasonry. Did you think that he was genuine? Do you think he really was a Freemason?
I did think he was genuine, but then again, you know, when you've got tape over your mouth because of oaths, you know, there's only so far you can go anyway. But I just thought it an interesting opportunity to speak to a 32nd degree Freemason. But I said to him right at the beginning, when we started talking about the cult, I said, you know, it doesn't really matter. I found out it doesn't really matter what a degree you are, because, you know, if you're a first degree Mason with an occult mind, you'll know more than a 32nd degree Mason who isn't. I mean, apparently, according to one of the DJs, in the documentary, his father didn't know till the actual 33-degree ceremony, where halfway through he walked out. He refused to take an oath to Lucifer. It's the first time that he'd heard it. So it shows, I suppose, in varying degrees, who to tell and who not to tell.
Now, I guess there are some people that are more adept at it than others. People like Crowley that would pick up on it straight away. And you know, people say, here you are, you understand it, go for it. And then you've got people that don't really understand it, that just see it as a charitable organization that helps out widows and orphans with a bit of fancy dress.
Gaines hospitals.
Yeah, a bit of a pantomime aspect to it. And then you've got others that really sort of understand what's going on and the esoteric side of it.
Yeah, I mean, I put a few questions to him, which I found about on the way, and he never came back with the answer which I believed the answer should have been. You know, he had some kind of double talk to, you know, actually try and lead me away, I felt.
Did you ask him how the Knights Templar fitted in?
Yeah, and again, you know, he's saying that these Knights Templars were murdered by the church because the church were obviously greedy and wanted all the power for themselves. But that's not the story I heard. The story I heard is they went down to the Middle East to come back telling everybody Lucifer is real God, and God is not the real God. He's a bad one.
There's a third theory as well. I mean, this one's from William Fink. And I mean, it's a very weak connection between the Templars and the Masons. I mean, what they've got is basically Roslyn Chapel in Scotland that was built, I think, in the 15th century, and it has Templar imagery and Freemasonic imagery. And the Freemasons brought these books out in the last 20 years saying that the Masons are connected to the Templars. After Jack de Molay was killed, a fleet of ships, 13 ships or whatever, left France, beached on Scotland, and then the Templars over the next 200 years morphed into the Freemasons in Scotland, and that was how that's the connection. And goes back to the Templars, and before that it goes back to the Gnostics. Right. But it's the Masons themselves that gave that information to us, and Bill thinks that that's a cover story, and that it was the Jews that started the Freemasons. And this idea that they're connected to the Knights Templar is just a cover story so that they can say, oh, well, it didn't come from the Jews. It came from the Knights Templars. It came from the Gnostics. It's to give them a pedigree rather than sort of telling the truth. And, you know, I mean, that could be true. That could actually be the source of it, because you've got to think, the only people that have actually given us this information are the Freemasons themselves. All the authors of those books are Freemasons.
Exactly.
So it's going to be in their interests. So he was keen to stress that, you know, they actually went back to the Templars then. That was what he wanted
to say. Well, yeah, but he looked on as they were righteous people. It was an evil church which was, you know, have this agenda against them. But, you know, although the Catholic Church has had its problems and no longer exists in my eyes today, there was, you know, these papal bulls what come out. He said that the reason for the papal bulls was just a short-term kind of retribution. But they were the Pope what gave the papal bulls, these were to last forever. You know, Francis may be a Freemason today, but that is not what a papal bull was. That was to say, any Christian who joins Freemasonry will be kicked out of the church forever. You know, this is, you know, no set time for this law.
And what was it What was it supposed to be retribution for? What were the Freemasons supposed to have done for the Pope to want retribution against them?
Well, I think they felt that they were taking the power away from the church and they were a danger. And to an extent, I suppose they were, but I don't think that was the whole thing. I mean, the King of France was in debt to them, and he probably thought, well, if I get rid of these, like, I won't have no money to pay back, which is another good reason. But, you know, I think it went beyond that. You know, this cult of, you know, God being the evil one goes back to the garden, and Lucifer being the good guy, because he came down to help. This is what Lucifer's trust say. He came down to help mankind and give us information, unlike the big bad God that we know.
Well, that turns it on its head, doesn't it? That's Gnosticism, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it turns it the opposite way around. But you're talking about the Templars there rather than the Freemasons. You're saying the church wanted retribution against them. So how does he explain the confessions and the evidence then? And the act, because there was accusations of buggery, there was accusations of worshipping a severed head, there was confessions of worshipping a severed head, and there's imagery of a head is the imagery that they use, that the Templars themselves use. So they're obviously involved in some kind of
conspiracy theories, isn't it? This is what it throws back at me. But what I did mention, I mentioned...
How can it be a conspiracy theory when we've got it all written up, the confessions and the accusations that were against these Templars? That's not a conspiracy theory, is it?
Well, it isn't in my eyes, but I suppose in one way he said they were tortured into saying these things. But at the end of the day, I think when you look at the old picture, you can see that this was a lot deeper than what he was saying, at least.
They would nurse people back to health after torturing them. You know, not a lot of people know that, but they did nurse people back to health after they'd been tortured and asked them if they wanted to recant. You know, you're well again. Do you still want to stick by what you said, or do you want to change it? So it wasn't quite as barbaric or as unlikely to get the truth out of them as you would think. I mean, these guys did confess.
It was a necessity for the church, because the influence of what the Templars were saying and other people was being detrimental to the church. So they had to bring in the Inquisition to fight that, you know, public feeling which was turning against the church for those who believed them. But I mentioned this guy, Rakowski, if he knew about him, and he never answered me the first time, so I pulled him up on it again. And what happened there was, when Stalin was doing the purges in 1938, he was a former ambassador to France, and he was involved in the purges and was being prosecuted. And to save himself, he said to the guy who was in charge of him, "I've got some information that Sally might be interested in." And he actually professed the Freemasons' secret, the secret of Freemasonry, which was no different to me than what Talmud says. And he went on to say that one day we will see a revolution, and the revolutionaries will turn on the Freemasons, and you will hear them shouting their righteous pleas of how we have helped these revolutions, and you'll die laughing at that prospect. Because what they're saying is they will then turn on the useless idiots, like Brezhnev said on one of the YouTube channels that talks about feminism and all that. Once they've been used to get their goal, they'll just turn on them and kill them. Now, by saying this about the Freemasons, I related that to the Talmud, because in the Talmud it actually says all good goyim, the best of the goyim, must be killed. There's no difference. But again, he's kind of going down another path with it, as he does.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, that fits in with the Jewish idea, doesn't it? They just use these puppets, and eventually they will turn on these puppets.
And totally.
The puppets believe in all the nonsense about racism, anti-Semitism, equality, feminism, when all of it is just there to benefit the Jews.
When he escaped from the Soviet Union, he was a dissident, and he gave these lectures in Canada, and he said that it happens all the time. He says, you get all these feminists and all these left-wing people who have got this picture of utopia. When it actually arrives, when it isn't utopia, these people then become the biggest critics, because they're not getting what they've always wanted. And so what they do is you just bring them into the courtyard and shoot them all. See, because you can't change the brainwashing. And he explained, he said, even if you start today in America, and this is a few years ago, he said, even if you start today, it will take at least 15 years to turn it around, because the people who are already indoctrinated in all this Marxism, he said, even if I took them to Gulag, they won't believe what I'm saying. The brainwashing is so complete. Only time when they'll realize it is when they'll get a military boot between the legs. Then they'll realize. But up to that point, you can show them anything, tell them anything, they will not believe you. And you look at Antifa, well, you just don't even bother starting with them.
Yeah, you can't reason with them. They're not reasonable people. This idea that you can have heaven on earth, I mean, we're told that's a falsity. You know, that's what the Bible tells us. It's a falsity. You can't have heaven on earth. Not without God. You can't build it. Man can't build it himself. So when you get somebody that tries to tempt you with that, you have to know that it's false. And that goes right back to the serpent saying, eat of this fruit and your eyes will be opened and you'll be as gods. And of course they weren't. And they brought death into the world. Eve brought death into the world, or Adam did, by allowing Eve to do that and not keeping control of her. And death and suffering was brought into the world, and it was brought in by temptation of listening to the devil. And Gnosticism, that's all Gnosticism is. It tries to flatter people. It says, you know, you're clever enough to understand this. You're better than everybody else. And if you follow this, you will be better than everybody else, and you'll have advantages over everyone. And okay, you might get a few advantages, but to pay for those advantages, you'll be blind to the truth. And you won't see what's really going on. And I think that's why these people that are in power, they firmly believe all this nonsense about equality and diversity. They do believe it's a strength, even though it's blatantly obvious that it's so destructive and it just brings war and chaos. And yet they can't see it. They've fallen.
Macron's another one, isn't he?
Yeah, look at Macron right now. Look at what's happening in his country. It's being destroyed, and they're all demanding that he leave office, and yet he's still going on about how all nationalists are traitors and we've got to have globalism. And he just can't see what's going on all around him. He's fallen for the lies. I really don't like Macron.
Like I said to him, that particular agenda was started by Krzysztof Kalergi, who was definitely a Freemason, because I found the source of the information that Hitler got. And again, you know, when you look at Europe today, everything that's going on, this was started with Freemasonry.
Well, we are living through the consequences of our actions from years ago. So I say, you know, we have to do what we do within the framework that we have and with the hand that we've been dealt.
A lot of treasures.
Yeah, well, you know, the results of what happened from going to war against Germany, and at the end of the war, communism taking over, that's why the world is the way that it is today. And it changed 70 years ago. You can't go back 70 years. You can't pretend that things are going to be the same as they were then. Things have moved on. You're not going to get somebody that's going to stand up and a mainstream politician that's going to stand up and expose the Jews. They can't.
Every mainstream political
party has to be friends of Israel. All you're going to get is somebody that will stand up and expose what the Muslims are doing. And if you give it another 10, 20 years, you're not even going to have somebody that can stand up and expose what the Muslims are doing. This is why I say we've got to support the people that are doing things now. We've got to do what we can with what we have now, and we've got to do it within the framework of the law. That's the other thing. I mean, those laws were made by our people. And we benefit from the society that we have, and our society is built on those laws. So we've got to do what we can with the people we've got, with the politicians and the people.
You're right now, but in Sweden, the Muslims are so many, they're going to create their own party and then create their own laws, because once they get voted in, and they will, because there's that many Muslims being piled in, you're going to have Sharia law in Europe.
Exactly. That's why we've got to support people like Gerard Batten. He doesn't expose the Jews, but he does expose the Muslims. We've got to support him if we want to stop that from happening, and a Muslim party taking over and instituting Sharia law. You know, we've got to support the people that are exposing them. We can only do what we can do with what we've got. It's no good saying, well, it's not good enough for us. It's not good enough. You know, I'm not going to support anyone unless he's Adolf Hitler. You're not going to get another Adolf Hitler. That was 70 years ago. What you've got is anti-Muslim politicians now that we should be supporting. You know, that's my take on it. Dennis, we've reached the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next week with more Truthful Out Radio for you. And, of course, we do hope you have a great weekend. Thank you.